Good morning. Come time to start service, ready to get ready to go into the worship service and everything. So I want you guys to remember, if you're visiting, if you had a prayer request, especially prayer requests, guys, fill out a connection card or the QR code that Dave puts up there. We actually pray over those requests. We take them serious here. It's just serious, okay? So if you'd like to, please do so. Just drop them in the box as you leave. And we will pray over those, okay? Also, we want you to know that coming up here soon, which is tomorrow, groups will launch. If you've not signed up, we encourage you to do so. We've had a really good sign-up so far. And if you had a few things up in the air, that's fine. That's no big deal. But we've had 150 people sign up so far for groups. 150 people have signed up for groups so far. So praise God for that. And if you're able to, we want you to come and be part of them. There's one every day of the week, Monday through Saturday, anything from the goodness of God to ATVs on Saturday. I got my side-by-side out this past week and making sure the oil's good and washed up and everything. Looking forward to doing that, just riding. Listen, I'm actually going to get to be able to ride in a group, not even do anything. Praise God. Looking forward to that. Thank you for Pat's doing that. But anything that you want to do, we want you to jump in. Whether it's on a Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, you got plenty of convenience, so please just consider it. I promise you'll really enjoy it. Can I get some ushers to come on up here real quick? We're going to take your tithes and offering up, if you don't mind. The Bible says that it's more blessed to give than to receive, and the older you get, the more you kind of understand that scripture a little bit, and it has a little bit more to do than just being able to give and help somebody, and just you feel good being able to do it. But how many of you also know if you're giving, okay, that means that God's blessed you to be able to give. So it's more blessed to give than to receive, okay? That being said, we've all been here before where we've been down and out, or we've been on the other end of it as well. So anything you can give and tithes and offering, know that it's going to go to the uplifting and building of God's kingdom. I'm going to ask you to stand to your feet. We're going to pray over the offering, and they're going to take up the offering before we have Pat come and open up the service. With a call to worship. Can I get Pat, you care to go ahead and pray over the offering for brother? Amen, amen. As they're taking up the tithe and offering, I want you to remember that we got several people that's out sick today that have received, told Emily before service, had received several messages asking for prayer, children sick, and stuff. My grandbaby's got a little croupy cough and everything. They're home right now, but just remember all of those. And also, as I call Pat to come on up here, listen, folks, we believe in worshiping the Lord here, amen? When the choir begins to sing and you see some people coming up front here, if you have prayer, if you have a need, I'm going to ask you by all means to come on up here and let's pray about it, okay? Because this altar is open.
All right. We've come to the church this morning. You look sour. You look like you're tired. You look like you're beat up this morning, but Jesus Christ was not beat up. He wasn't tired. Well, I'm sure he was tired. When he went up Golgotha's hill, when he carried your cross, I'm sure that he didn't want to take it all the way. But guess what? He done it anyway. So it's on you to worship him. We're not here to worship no man. We're not here to worship any denomination. We're here to worship one person, and his name is Jesus Christ. He is the King of Kings. Yeah. He is the Lord of Lords. And it's on you this morning to stand up and worship. So I'm going to ask you to stand up.
Come on, brother.
Come on, stand up. Wake up, church. You're not in bed.
Amen.
You come to the house of God in a holy place.
Hallelujah.
To worship the one true King.
Yes.
To give your all this morning.
Hallelujah.
I feel Him already.
Hallelujah.
It's on you today. Look over to your neighbor and say, get, come on, let's see how it, get out the way of Him.
Get out of the way. Amen.
Get out the way of Him. So your worship unlocks heaven.
Amen.
Your worship brings heaven to earth.
Come on.
Lift your hand. Did He not wake you up this morning? There's something to praise about.
Amen.
Did He not put a song upon your lips? Praise Him about it.
Amen.
Did He not save you from a devil's hell? Praise Him about it.
Hallelujah.
He's worthy of it, church.
Hallelujah.
He's so worthy.
Amen.
Go ahead.
Amen. Come on. Hallelujah.
Do you feel the world is broken? Do you feel the shadows deepen? But do you know that all the dark won't stop the light from getting through? Do you wish that you could see it all maybe? Creation growing, is a new creation coming, is the glory of the Lord the light within our midst, is it good that we remind ourselves? Judah, who conquered the grave, He is David's reward. with assurance, Jesus is mine. He's been my fourth man in the fire, time after time.
Amen. Hallelujah.
Born of His Spirit, washed in His blood, and what He did for me on Calvary is more than enough. I trust in God, my Savior, the one who will never fail. He will never fail.
And he heard.
You will never fail. I trust in God.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Bless you, Lord. Have your way, Father. Have your way, Lord.
To sin, Jesus died for me. Amen. Give the Lord a hand clap of praise. Amen. Amen. Isn't God good? Amen. Praise the Lord. We appreciate the choir leading us in worship this morning and ushering us into the presence of the Lord, because really that's what it's all about. And I was thinking about last week there and on Mephibosheth and how he was all crippled up, and yet he was able to go to the king's table because somebody evidently had to pack him in. And I'm so thankful that even though you may feel like you're beat up this week and sort of dragging, aren't you glad the Holy Spirit still gives you the unction to be in the house of the Lord and come to the king's table? Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Look at two or three people and say, you're looking good this morning. And as always, if you have to lie a little bit, the Lord will look over that. Amen. Amen. It's been good to be in the house of the Lord this morning, and we're going to continue our sermon series here on belonging today. And we sort of talked about the gathering piece last week, and we're sort of inadvertently here trying to sneak our vision in on you as we go, gather, grow, go. And last week we talked about the importance and the priority of gathering and how the Lord allows that. He permits that. He ordains that. And that when He calls for you to come into His presence, there's really nobody around, no demon in hell, no devil anywhere, that can stop you from coming to the table and getting what is rightfully yours because of what Christ done over 2,000 years ago. And I would say that's true in my life, probably in everybody's life. There's probably been days that you've drug into church or felt like you didn't belong there or had a bad week or what have you. Maybe you had a bad car ride here. But how many of you know, once you get in the presence of the Lord, He always meets you there. It's amazing to me. I've said this 1,000 times. The world can take 6 days and beat you down, but it takes about 6 seconds to get into the presence of God. And all that melts away, and you know the world is right because you're in relationship with the Lord. And so we're going to talk to you a little bit this morning about something and related to something I have no idea about, and that is growing stuff. I know Liz is a green thumb, and some of them here can grow things and gardens, and I know years ago everybody relied on that, and it was a skill that was passed down, but that sort of goes away over the years. And I'll be honest with you, I can't grow anything, and I ain't picking on her, so don't get mad at me, but Kelly can't grow anything neither, right? It's like we go to Lowe's and pick up plants, and she picks up a plant, and I sort of whisper to it, "It won't be long, little buddy. You get to go home be with the Lord here just in a little while, because you ain't going to make it long at my house. I'm going to tell you that right now. Me or Kelly, neither one can grow you. Chances are you're going to be with the Lord here before long." I don't know much about growing, but I know how to study about growing, and I certainly know how to grow in the Lord and how others grow in the Lord. And we're going to talk to you about that and the fact that you've got a place at the table, and when you take that place at the table, right, that relationship with God, there's two ways here that I want to come across today that you grow. And the very first one is in the Lord, being connected to Him, that we'll talk about, in the vine and the trellis, which is a word that I didn't even realize what it was. I got to digging into studying how things grow and things of that nature, and I thought, man, what a beautiful picture here of how to grow in the Lord. And then also one with another, and I was thinking about this verse of scripture. I'm actually going to use it today. Me and Ted sort of tag team Sunday school, and we were talking about the Holy Spirit. And we do this from time to time. We were talking about, the Holy Spirit and how many believe we think you don't have it unless you speak in tongues, but we do, and this and that. And we laid out things, and we're going to go into 1 Corinthians 12 and 14 there, and we talked about the robe, the bell, and the pomegranate, and the bell and the pomegranate on the high priest's robe, and how that was there for a sounding brass, and then a fruit, and then a sounding brass, and how 1 Corinthians 12, 13, and 14 is a perfect illustration of that. We're going to dig more into that next week, but he made mention of the fact of the conversation that him and Tara came into the office and had, and he said he was pretty abrasive. And Tara said, yes, he was. So Ted thought I was saying one thing, or that the Church of God was saying one thing, and said he leaned across the table or across the desk, and he said it was pretty abrasive. But in my mind, I thought, that's how things happen sometimes. Iron sharpens iron. Are y'all with me? And I want to precursor something here, and we're going to get into it in just a little bit. I think we all get, and we can jive with, growing in the Lord and Him being the true vine. And unless we're connected to Him, we can do nothing. And we're going to talk about that in just a minute and our relationship with Him. But then we're going to get a little deeper and tell you how that God uses other people to allow you to grow. And I think that's where we sort of draw the line, Bernard, because it's a little bit uncomfortable when things maybe get a tad abrasive. But how many of you know confrontation is often a good thing? I've said this before. You need to be in relationship with someone in your life who can see the blind spots in your mirror. Because we all got blind spots, right? You've heard me say this time and time again. If you can't get along with me, there's something wrong with you. Ain't that how everybody feels? We've all got those blind spots, and what we need are individuals around us that can show us those blind spots, and sometimes that's abrasive. When iron sharpens iron, there's sparks that fly. There's conflict that needs to be reasoned out. And I think that's one way that we grow, is in a group, one with another. Not always about conflict, but support and those other things. But the idea this morning is, I want you to get that you've got to grow. It's like it's an automatic that happens when you come to the table. And we'll read the verse of Scripture in just a minute. But here's what I know, is if you continually come to the table, you'll grow. I am living proof that if you continually go to the table, you will grow. I've said this 1,000 times too, and when Micah was growing up, I think Jeremiah got onto me last week because I always pick on Emily, so I'm going to pick on Micah this week, Jeremiah. I always said this with Micah growing up, man, we never one time, me and Kelly never went in and caught that boy asleep and tried to stretch him and make him taller. How many of y'all ever seen my son? We never made him try to make him taller. We never tried to make him broader, right? We never made it to where he could have to turn to walk through the door. He gets some of that stuff naturally. We went up and listened to Pat the other night at Lundell, and I figured out right real fast, going up the side aisle was not the thing for me to do because I had to go up like this. I look like my crazy dog coming through the... thought, man... I'd have to widen this. And then I thought about Michael running. I thought, what would happen here? But anyway, thought, man, that would be tricky. But we never once went in. That dude is 6'5", 6'6", now broad as a barn. We never went in of a night, Ray, and grabbed him by the head and the feet and went. And grabbed him by each arm and tried to make him wider. You know what we done? We fed him. We fed him. And we fed him. And we fed him. We still feed him. He's gone somewhere and he's got the Wendy's app and our debit card's still on it. So I know that joker eats in a day. Feed him and feed him. And what happens is, how many of you have tried to feed a teenage boy? And girls may be the same. Emily ate, but not like Micah did. You know what I mean? Like those jokers can eat. But you feed them, and what happens is they naturally grow if they're healthy and nothing stunts their growth. And so if you come to the table, here's what's going to happen this morning. If you want to stand with me for the reading of God's Word, we're going to look in John chapter 15. I preached on this true vine idea a long time ago in the other sanctuary, and when I hit it just as the true vine and nothing else, I remember I titled that sermon, Get Hooked or Get Cooked. Because the Bible says, if you're not connected to the vine, you're cut off and you're cast into the fire. But I just want to talk to you about growth here this morning. John chapter 15, starting verse 1 here. And we're going to look at the KJV. I know they got the ESV up there. Mine flipped over on the KJV here as I opened up. I am the true vine, my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that bears not fruit, he takes away. And every branch that bears fruit, he purges it, that he may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me, and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself, except it abide in the vine, no more can you, except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abides in me and I am in him, the same brings forth much fruit. For without me you can do nothing. If a man abide not in me, he is cast forth as a branch and is withered, and men gather them and cast them into the fire, and they're burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will, and it'll be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit, so you shall be called my disciples. You can be seated if you wish. I think the idea that I want to begin with this morning about the vine and how Jesus says that there's a connection there that takes place. And I remember having this revelation, if you will, the first time I started really reading through the scripture and learning it for myself. I think I even mentioned to Kelly after a couple months of reading it, I got this idea out of it. It sounds elementary now, but even though I was raised in church and heard things and all that, there's difference there between just information and revelation. And I got this revelation, and I told her, I said, man, I've been reading this Bible, and I'm going to tell you something. If there's one thing that I've got so far, it's this. God wants you to know that without him you can do nothing, but with him all things are possible. One of the first revelations I had was God is saying, if you don't stay connected to me, it doesn't matter what you do. There's something special about that nearness, if you will, that camaraderie there that only God can provide. And I remember reading a story one time about a fella during the Holocaust. He sort of got threw into prison so he could sort of go in and check on the others and almost report there. I don't know, even sort of, I didn't quite understand the whole story. It was almost as though he could go back and forth, and he worked in the garden. What would happen was the guys would come out, and real quietly, they would all talk, and they would tell him what was going on. And he said, we survived not because of some kind of willpower that we had deep down inside. He said, I really believe we survived because through those small talks where we had to whisper to one another, there was a nearness there. He used that word. There was a nearness there. There was something that made us feel together and united, and that's what brought us through. I'm going to tell you something. In the world that we're living in, it's going to beat you down. It's going to make you feel like you're less than. And when you come to the body of believers, you're coming into a place where you can get support. But let me assure you, the very first thing that you've got to do is get connected to the vine so that you continually grow. And that vine is Jesus Christ. And through this vine, Jesus has given the church some tools, if you will, to allow you to grow that you're not going to get on your own. And we mentioned this a little bit last week, and that if you're not getting where the getting's God, you can't get what you should get, right? So if you're not here, if you're not part of the gathering, it's hard sometimes to really get all that God has for you, because God has provided things in the body of Christ so you and I can grow even beyond him, but it's all through him. Now hang with me here. He's the true vine. We are the branches. When we come together and he's in the midst of what we're doing, that is how that lifeline flows to each of us as members of the body. But do you understand that there are offices, there are callings within the body of Christ that if they're present, it allows you to grow even more so than just coming in and gathering for church on Sunday. In Ephesians chapter 4, verses 11 and 12, something that's rarely taught, he said in the church he gave apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers to equip the saints. Now, this is our context, and I know they record this and it's live and all that, but this is the context that we operate in here. It has nothing to do with anybody else. I'm just simply observing some things, and you can either agree or disagree. But I think we've got a church as a whole that recognizes real quick, teachers, y'all with that? evangelists. Y'all with that? They have revivals and things of that nature. Pastors. But really, when it comes to the first two, apostles and prophets, they sort of get left out. Now, hang with me here for a minute. We're going to talk about growing in a minute, but I want to show you the blueprint that God has for this vine to get connected in the church and grow, and some things we need to do. We often leave off apostles and prophets. Some say, well, the apostles had to see Jesus. There is no prophets anymore. I don't understand, out of the five, where we pick three and the other two get left out. Somebody does, they can, you know, explain it to me. And again, I'm not wanting to debate or anything like that. I'm just telling you my mindset. When I read the scripture, I read it for what it's worth and what's there. And he says we're given this fivefold ministry so we can grow and be edified as the body of Christ, so we can bring forth fruit. And in that, we come, we are all connected to this vine, and this vine begins to grow because, number one, he's the cornerstone, and he's at the heart of everything we do. And out of him flows the Spirit of God, the wisdom of God, the knowledge of God, the love of God, the faith of God. All these things flow. They flow through these offices. Now, I think in the church that we're operating in, not necessarily this one, but as a whole, we see a ton of pastors, and there's nothing wrong with that. If you ever know a church that's 25, 30 people, never really get any bigger, all those other things, I have no problem with that whatsoever. That's usually a pastor that's leading the church. Because once you get past that, that pastor can't love and care for everybody. And so there's this unseen wall that sort of comes up because they want to be the one to love and care for everybody. We got some churches maybe that have evangelists looking for a place to preach, and maybe they pastor. And I don't know. I'm just saying. I'm observing. And this would be abrasive, but iron sharpens iron. Maybe a church where salvation is preached, and there's nothing wrong with salvation, but when it's preached, you look around and go, who's lost? That might be an evangelist filling a pastor's job. You got teachers, of course, that can teach the gospel and teach the scripture, but where's the apostles? Where's the prophets? Where's that type of anointing in the body of Christ? And I think that lack of organization and that lack of foreknowledge to say, here's where we're going to go, is what we lack in the body of Christ. And maybe one of the reasons we don't grow to the fullness that God would have us to grow. But I believe if we stay connected to Him, stay in Him as the true vine, and then our part of that is this. If we stay connected to Him, He said, if you abide in me, I'll abide in you, and you'll bring forth fruit. You don't have to try to produce that fruit. You just abide in me. I'll abide in you. And people will see that fruit and they'll glorify your Father which is in heaven. But I think we've got a part to play in that, in this word called a trellis. And every time I say it, I think I'm saying it wrong. But that's exactly how it's pronounced. A trellis. Have you ever seen a wall, a lattice-like wall that's there and a plant growing up that wall? That's how people grow things. And there's some reasons for that. And I think we, and our part, Vicki, is to come in and build a trellis someplace that's going to support those vines that's going to grow. And what happens is, and when we look at that trellis, that is going to move us from a consumer to a contributor. And I'm not here to do this today at all. But I will tell you this. I desire a church where we're not just a bunch of consumers, but we're contributors. I can't help it. It's just the way we're built. Some of you have heard this and some of you have not. God speaks to me in simple ways. Y'all know the KISS method? Somebody tell me. Thank you, Pearl. Pearl's the only one got guts to say what need to be said. KISS. Keep it simple, stupid. That's why God works with me. He keeps it simple. And I remember one time going through a restaurant, and I think I might have given the name before, but I'm going to leave the name out this time. And didn't have a lot of meat on my sandwich, and I like meat. And I remember going, man, price is going up, right? Y'all, anybody that's ever grocery shop knows what I'm talking about. Price is going up, the quantity's going down. I'm like, man, I don't know about that. And you know what the Lord spoke to me simply? And you can say, well, that wasn't the Lord, that was your conscience or whatever, but that's all right. I think the Lord went, he said, just don't go back. I thought, okay. And I knew when he said that, he wanted me to know something more than about a sandwich. And I said, Lord, what are you getting at here? He said, the church have become consumers. They show up and they consume. They don't get what they're needing consumed. And listen, everybody needs something. Listen, if you're spiritually dying, whatever, all those things, absolutely. But we got to be careful that we don't just become consumers and don't understand and lack the understanding that we're to contribute as well. Are y'all with me? That's the trellis that we put in the ground that the vine begins to grow on. We got to bring ourselves. We got to bring it all. Oh, it's quiet, and I'm all right with that. You know why? You can't sow seed in a windstorm. But how many of you know when you show up here, things just don't happen? To do what we do takes a lot of people. Takes a lot of things. That's what God is saying. If you'll bring yourself, your talents, all those things with you, build that trellis, because the reason they build that trellis is so it becomes like a ladder that goes up. You see, when we come in and we got the fivefold ministry working and operating, and we bring that trellis in, we put it in the ground, what we're saying to God is, we're making room here. We want to build this ladder, if you will. We want to bring heaven down to earth. How many of you want to come into a church service and not say, just say, I've been in a church service and I learned something, but you want to say, I've been into the presence of God. Are y'all with me? I didn't just learn something today. There was something revealed to me, and I've been in the presence of God. I was discouraged, now I'm encouraged. I was upset, and now I'm totally at peace. That's what we want when we come to the church service, but we got to understand that we got to bring the trellis in, set it up so that when God begins to grow, that ladder to heaven goes up so the heavens can come down. Y'all with me? That trellis would allow for air circulation. When I read what that thing was for, I thought, oh my goodness, that's a whole teaching in itself. It's a ladder that allows those vines to grow toward heaven. What are you and I doing? We are growing toward heaven. It said that it's for air circulation so that the wind could get through and the plants could feel the wind and the breath of the earth. And I thought, man, how many of us want to feel the breath of the Holy Ghost every time we get into the building? Are y'all with me? So when that vine goes up that trellis, the air can circulate, aka the Spirit of God can move through your church. Most people do it for space management. I love this personally as a leader. In other words, when you run out of room, you put a trellis in and you start growing it vertically instead of horizontally. I thought, man, oh man, oh man, if we're going to keep growing and keep doing what God wants us to do in the kingdom of God, we got to understand that we got to put that thing in the ground and we got to grow in more ways than one. Are y'all with me? Last and certainly not least, a lot of times those trellises were used as a wall, privacy fence. I thought, man, if there's one thing the church needs nowadays, it's the wall of Nehemiah built to protect against false doctrine, against things of the world coming in trying to collapse the kingdom. And that's our part. Jesus says this, abide in me, I'll abide in you. You'll bring forth fruit. But if you want to have a part in this thing, bring the trellis in, stick it in the ground. Bring what you have, give it to me, and I can do so much more with it than what you ever imagined. You know the little boy with the lunch. And I thought about this 1,000 different ways, how we could go with this. But you know, ministry's all good and well. And as ministry grows, people grow, and things crop up, right? I remember in the book of Acts, y'all remember the first issue the church had? They said, man, there's a lot of widows here. What do we do? Peter said, well, here's what we need to do. We need to appoint some people to do this because we can't leave the Word of God and do it. And what happened? God raised up some people to do just that. What's my point there? I'm telling you that if you continue to grow, you, the trellis, have to be planted in the ground, connected to the vine, and say this, God, whatever it is I've got that you need to use for the kingdom to advance, please use it. It's that simple. And I don't want to lose you here, and I know it sort of sounds like we're going to bounce a little bit, but when you come in and you can get connected to the vine, you put your trellis in the ground so that God can grow that and you can bring forth fruit in Him, I want you to understand He's not saying try harder. He's saying this, just stay connected. Y'all with me? Just don't get disconnected through the week. If you have to miss for some reason, that's fine. Just don't get totally disconnected. If you miss a gathering, if you miss coming together, if you miss a group, if you're in things in your life and it's that time of your life, and I always think about Jeremiah and Michelle, and man, we've been through it too. Their two kids are doing everything, and they don't know where they're coming, going, whatever. And I think, man, thank God for people like Jeremiah that's got all that going on and still joins the choir. Thank God for Michelle who still does what she does and she's got all of that going on. And what I'm saying is this, you've got times in your life and seasons in your life where you don't know whether you're coming or going, and you may feel like, hey, I don't even have much to stick in the ground here. What I'm telling you is just don't get disconnected. And God will bring forth fruit in you as you go, and we're going to talk about that next week. Problem with the sticking with the vine is a lot of times is the pruning. He'll pull out those things, those weeds, so the branches that bear fruit can bear more fruit. And that can be said in a congregation, but it can almost also be said in your personal life. If you feel like God's pruning some things in your life and separating you from some things in your life, it's Him just pruning. Why? Because He wants to make room for those good branches to be able to grow so you can bring forth more fruit. And if you'll stay connected to Him, He'll stay connected to you, you'll bring forth fruit. And here's the transition. You ready? And we're getting ready to hit groups a little bit. Here's the transition. When you start bearing fruit, and listen, it's for you, but it's not mainly for you. Anybody who's heard me preach on this has heard me say this time and time again, but I'll say it till the day I die. Bernard, I've never seen an apple tree eating an apple. Common sense. Today, when we're talking about the cloven tongues like it's a fire setting upon each of them, that cloven tongue wasn't for them. They wasn't looking in the mirror going, ooh, look at me. That cloven tongue was for everybody else around to see what God had done in them. Y'all hanging with me? So when you get connected to the vine and you get to bearing that fruit, here's what we think. That's how I get love, joy, peace. You're right. But here's where we go wrong. We sat at the house with our bushel, eating our love, joy, peace. Because let's be honest with you. A lot of times other folks rob your love and your joy. Am I telling the truth? Ain't it Mike Pollard says, am I right about it? That's just a fact. It's easier. Man, I knew I'd get myself down in a hole here. First commandment is love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, soul, and body, right? Put God first. What's the second one? Love your neighbor as yourself. Boy, we love the first one. We can't even do 3 through 10 without being in a relationship with somebody. You got to be around folks. And when that happens, iron sharpens iron, and there's abrasiveness that goes on there. Bible teaches us when you're in relationship one with another, and iron sharpens iron, and that thing grinds up against one another, boom, 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 there's sparks that's going to fly, but you're being sharpened because that is exactly the way that God set this thing up. He didn't set it up so that you could set it to house and eat your fruit by yourself. He set it up so that you could come and allow others to enjoy the fruit that He is sending through you for them, because it wasn't just for you. He gives you that fruit for others, not just the lost, but for your brothers and sisters in Christ. You know what happens when you isolate yourself? You pull back. And listen, there's, you know, I'm a, and some people debate about this, and that's okay. But like, what the outgoing versus the not outgoing, what's that? Introvert, extrovert. I'm more of an introvert. See, that my family says no, because they see me talking to people, but people talk to me. I'm an introvert that's not going to be rude. How's that? You know what I mean? Like, somebody talks to me, I'm going to talk to you back, right? And we'll stand there and talk as long as you want to talk. But don't get, you know, turned off by this fact that the pastor don't run up to you and go, hey, because I'm just not that guy. And I feel like God's okay with that. There's introverts, there's extroverts, there's some people that'll start a conversation, some that won't. It takes all kind to make up the body of Christ, but if you're not careful, that introvert that you are will cause you to be into isolation, and isolation is the danger. Are y'all with me? Me and Ted was texting one time, and he was talking about something there and where we live now there in town, and I was like, man, that's great. I think it's great. Walmart brings groceries to my door. Like, all I got to do is tell Kelly, hey, we're out of this. Put that in cart. You know what I'm saying? It's like a magic genie. Like, you say, Kelly, I need this. And, you know, within 3 hours, it's at your door. I'm like, man, is this not life right here? You know? They do. She tips them extra, but they bring them all the way up the steps. And I'd give them almost anything I had to get them to bring it all the way up the steps. And they bring it all the way up the steps, right to the door. I told them, I said, for another $5, you reckon they'd bring them on in and put them up? I'd give them another $5, $10 if they'd put them in the cupboard and in the fridge. I said, man, this is great. I said, I walk downstairs and I get a softball lesson. Somebody passes away, I walk across the street to the funeral home. If I need the post office, I got a box out there. I've never had that before. Bruno, I got a box out there, and if I need to mail something, across the road there's the post office. I take stomach medicine. I told Kay, I said, change that to Angie and M's pharmacy there. Now I just walk across the road and get my medicine. I told Ted, I said, I can live within a half a mile block right here. I love it. And he said, you got to be careful. You're going to become even more of a hermit than what you already are. Iron sharpens iron. Right? You got to have those relationships where somebody goes, hey, I know you enjoy that, but that's not a good thing. People need to see you. People need to be around you. Are y'all with me? And so when God saves you, when you're bringing forth fruit, He doesn't want you to isolate yourself, sit at home, watch the service, and be happy and eat that fruit yourself. He says you're manifesting fruit. You're bringing forth fruit, and it's just not for you. It's just not for your family, but it's for those that are around you. And many times it takes that one-on-one in a group, confrontation, iron sharpens iron, that relationship where somebody can be honest with you and say, here's what you need to do, or here's what you shouldn't do in order to get where God really wants you to get. He's designed it that way. You cannot get there with just God alone. And I know you may say, man, that's a big statement. But in the very beginning, when God made Adam, what did He look down and say? He just saw Adam. What did He say? This ain't good. He needs somebody. So He took Eve, took that rib out of his side, done the first surgery, put Adam to sleep, took his rib, and when Adam woke up, he had a 10. Hey, think about it, man. Like, Adam goes to sleep and he wakes up and here's this woman right beside of him. He's like, I think it's why she's called woman. He went, whoa, man. Whoa, man. Looky here, what God, look what the Lord has done. Right? Here's the thing. God took that rib out of his side. I think somebody said this other day at the table. God took that rib out of his side because he wanted man to understand that she's not to walk in front of you, she's not to walk behind you, but she's what to walk beside you. You with me? Because you need somebody that can help you through this life. You need connection. And sometimes it's outside of that marriage that you need connection in the right way. Don't take that and run with that. In the context of spiritual growth, groups getting together, iron sharpening iron. God's saying this, I'm the vine. You're the branches. If you abide in me, I'll bring forth fruit. And you know what happens if y'all get together? You get to eat each other's fruit, and you'll grow even more. And people will be blessed. People will grow. People will be nourished. People will see ministries launched. There'll be so many great things come out of the kingdom of God if we'll realize that we're not meant to do this alone. I wonder if you'd stand with me to your feet. Let me wrap this up by going back to our table analogy here. Coming to the tables, getting connected to the vine. Growing in Him. Learning His Word. Getting in the Ephesians 4 model of ministry where you're just not exposed to a couple of the offices, but you're exposed to all of them. There's some organization, some leadership, some things that maybe even move you, dare I say, from a family to an army. Listen, we're family, but you got to be careful about that word family, because family means we want everybody to be happy and coddled and all that. But I'm going to tell you something. You're more than just family. You're an army. You're not an audience. You're an army. And we're going to keep marching forward. We're going to keep doing what God said to do. And it's in the context of that that I operate. I operate more out of, and I'm not calling myself that, the apostolic style ministry. You know what Kelly said last week when we got home? She said, man, I love to see you when you enjoy preaching. You know what I said? Because for years, and y'all know this, y'all suffered with it through me. For years, there was time there for years I didn't enjoy preaching. Instant in season, out of season. I'm just honest, whether you like it or not. I am who I am. There was a time where we were just living, trying to get by. Heard God say, steady the ship, and that's what I done. Didn't get too excited about too much. She said, I love when you love preaching. You know, I said, you know why I love preaching? She said, why? I said, because I feel like we're going somewhere. That's the only time I enjoy preaching, is when I feel like, Terry, as a group, we're going somewhere. Because if we're just all going to gather here and walk out the door and go, boy, we learned something new today, I don't care about that. I need to know that we're going somewhere. We're growing towards something. Everybody's got their trellis in the ground. Are y'all with me? And we're getting closer to God. And in doing so, God is getting closer to us. And not only that, we're not just going to sit around here within the confines of the church and just munch on each other's fruit and say, who cares about the rest of the world? There's a command there that says, now you've got this, take it to them. Jesus says this, you can come in and sit down. You can consume all that you want, and there's nothing wrong with it. But if you don't use it, if you don't help others with it, if you don't exercise with it, and listen, I'm numero uno in this book. Carnally, we're going to say, natural. What happens if you come to this table and you eat, 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 consume, 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 and you never really exercise or put it to work? You get overweight, don't you? All you do is consume. You don't do anything. So you get overweight. You know what that nourishment's for? For you to put to work. Well, God has asked you to put to work and build muscle, grow in Him. Why? So you can help carry somebody else's burdens. It ain't just so you can come in and get fattened up and think, man, I know everything there is to know about the New Testament and this and that. He's saying this, come and grow, consume so that you can grow, so that you can help others along the way. Are y'all with me? And when we grow one with another, great things happen. We can come together. We can lean on one another. Some of the best services I've ever been in wasn't necessarily about how much there was shouting, speaking in tongues, or anything else. It was those services where you left and went, man, I've got a family behind me. I've got a family that'll help me. I didn't even know so-and-so, but yet they came up to me and they said something encouraging to me. God laid it on their heart to come to me with a word of encouragement. That's the kind of God we serve. That's the kind of family of God that we desire to have here. I wonder if you'd do me a favor, and if everybody would maybe move around the front just a little bit and come closer.